someone else being kind to remind me. Let's go to Revelation 15. Next week, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to spend most of our evening just in prayer on some different topics and some different couplings and things like that. I'm looking forward to it, but we'll do that next week. And we're going to start into Revelation 15. We are getting there, right? And so we're going to look at just a few. Actually, we'll look at the whole chapter here in Revelation 15 tonight. And once we get into chapter 16 is when we get into the Armageddon. And so we're getting very close to that, of course. But this is another look into heaven before God pours his wrath out on the earth. And I like that about Revelation, where we kind of go back and forth a little bit. We go to heaven a little bit and see the throne and the angels and the elders and all these things. And then we see the earth and we see the chaos and the commotion that goes on. Then we go back to heaven and look at what's going on in heaven. And then we come back to the earth and see things back and forth. And this is a quick look back into heaven before the wrath comes. And we see, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of mingled glass with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship thee before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with the golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." Let's pray, and then we'll look at it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to come tonight, even in a smaller crowd, the opportunity to come and fellowship and pray together and look into your word. Lord, it's an encouragement. So I pray that tonight you would help us as we look into heaven, into this chapter and what is occurring there. Lord, I pray that we would be able to understand it, and Lord, that we can use that to better honor you, Lord, and understand who you are, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we see here, first of all, we see a period of waiting. Two things kind of go on here. We see in the first two verses, it's almost like a parade of these seven angels that come out. And but there's a specific audience here as well. In verse number 2, it says, "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, they stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." So we see these seven angels appearing in verse number 1. And this audience that is there watching and having their harps, it's those who triumphed over the beast. Now, it's funny, I was reading and looking through some different things and studying this. And it's that word triumph is an interesting word to use here. It appears as though it was those that obviously did not take the mark of the beast, did not fall to his teachings and all of those things, but more than likely, these people all suffered death on the earth. And so when you hear the word triumph, usually, at least for me, I always think of victory, and I think of overcoming, and I think of standing at the finish line first, or whatever it may be. But the word triumph here is still used, and it appears from everything that I can read and understand that these are folks who never took the name, never took the mark of the beast, never fell into that, but they probably still died and possibly a tragic death, so to say, on the earth. Yet God looked at them as triumphing. I think you look at that in Scripture, and you see again in Corinthians when The Bible says, O death, where is thy victory and thy sting? And a grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? And you see this idea of winning over death, even though we still die. Now, we win because Christ won. He still died. Now, he rose again from the dead. You and I will die, and it doesn't mean that we've lost. It doesn't mean that we failed. It doesn't mean that we fallen short. The reality is, if we live for God, we are still triumphing. And these people in the tribulation period that are given the same ultimatum that everyone else is given, take this mark or be killed, they choose not to. They don't fall into the press. They don't fall into this promotion of who this being is, and that he is all important, and he is the one that can provide this global peace if we'll just listen to him. They don't buy into it. And God calls them triumphant as a result of it. And they're standing here with their harps as this parade of angels comes through. And we see not only that, we see a song. Actually, we see two different songs. In verse 3, it says that they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses is how God brought his people out. They sing this after, actually, as they are standing at the Red Sea. The song of Moses is sung, and we see this in Exodus, but it is talking about how God brought them out. Now, the song of the Lamb is how God brings his people in, and brings them into his presence and into his eternity. Both of them are celebrating triumph over enemies. There is built into that expectations of saints, and ultimately it's glory to God. And it says there in verse number 3, as they sing, it says, what is written for us is, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And so they're singing this song, the song of Moses, this redemption, this being brought out of, the song of the Lamb, which is a triumphant being brought into. And again, the focus, though, is always God and who God is and what he is worthy of. And so that is what is being sung here. And again, we come back to verse 4, all nations shall come and worship before thee. It is the same mindset, the same philosophy of the scriptures teaching that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. It's all here. It's all for us to see. But we see as well a place here that is mentioned, a place of worship, the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven. And we see here in the last few verses, we see the messengers of the wrath that is to come. Verses 5 and 6, where it says, and after that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony of in heaven, was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. We see here a couple things about these messengers, about these angels. First of all, they're coming from the presence of God. If you go back to the Old Testament and you learn about the tabernacle and how it's set up, and you see this, only certain people were allowed in certain areas, and you have the Holy of Holies and all of this, and we see these angels coming out now of the tabernacle in representation of the presence of God, and they're coming from the presence of God. Not only that, they're orderly. They're not running. They're not in disorder. Everything here is order. They're coming out. Carrying, you can imagine and again, it's just imagining, but you can imagine just the scene as they are coming out of this tabernacle. They are pure. It says there in verse number 6, they're clothed in pure and white linen. So they're having this this image of purity as well, showing us here just the pureness of this. This wrath is not a wicked wrath. It's not a it's not a sinful wrath. It's not a vengeful, as far as hateful and murdersome wrath. What they're carrying and how they're carrying and who is carrying here is pure, and we see just no anger. There's no even passion from what we see from these angels. There's nothing that is super excited, over the top excited, or they're just doing their job. And here they come. orderly and pure from the presence of God. Very restrained, it would appear. And we see them girded here with the golden girdles. And we see now in verse number 7, one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. You remember the four beasts. We've seen them earlier in Scripture. One has the face of a lion, one the face of a calf, one the face of a man, and the other a face of an eagle. Which of the four beasts does this? Well, the Bible obviously doesn't tell us. There is some speculation, but it's just that. The reality is it's not really that important. But we see here that one of them steps up, and they are given here. Most of the speculation assume it's the one with the face of a man, because it's man's sin who is getting ready to be wrath poured out on and all that kind of stuff. But again, that really doesn't matter. But we see they come and they hand out these vials full of the wrath of God. And that brings us to verse number 8, where it says, "And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." Not since the crucifixion was this area blocked off. You were allowed to enter. There was the presence. You were allowed to go in at that point. But for a short time here, it is going to be again restricted, and no one could go in until these seven plagues were fulfilled of the seven angels. And now we get into, and we will get into this next week, or in 2 weeks in the chapter 16. But we see the what we know of, what we think of when we think of Revelation and we think of the end times. That's what we're starting to get into now. And to understand, again, this, what I want to impress on you is the book of Revelation isn't about scary creatures, and it isn't about wild events, and it isn't about you and me. It's about God. And here, any time that we look into heaven in Revelation, we see everyone focused on God. Now, I know the seven angels are coming out, and I understand that the four beasts give these vials, but the focus is on God. The Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb, it's singing about God and that God deserves glory and that God is holy and he alone is holy and all will worship. And that's what it's about. That's what this whole book is about. It's about pointing people to God. It's not about scaring people into heaven. It's not about warning people of hell. Yes, that's in there, but it's about God. It's about understanding who God is, what God has said, what God has promised, and what God is going to do. And when we understand that, then it makes everything else fall into place. And I just really encourage us, as we continue to read through Revelation, if you read through any book in the Bible, read it with the understanding it's about God more than anything else. And the focus is to point us to God, to help us understand God, to help us hear God, and therefore do, as the Bible says, not just to be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. That's the whole point. God says, this is who I am, and this is what I'm going to do, so do what I've told you to do. Be obedient to my word. That's the point of Revelation. That's the focus that is given for us. So we'll start getting into chapter 16 in 2 weeks. And begin looking through Armageddon and the battle and all that comes with that as well. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to look into your word. Thank you for continuing to show us day in and day out. As long as we open your scriptures, Lord, you continue to show us who you are. Lord, you give us so much knowledge and so much understanding just through your word. Lord, may we be faithful to read and to study and to seek you through your word. So help us to understand it. Help us to be motivated, challenged, encouraged to obey you as a result of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.